I will be with him in trouble.
I will rescue him
and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him
and show him his salvation.
Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place,
the Most High, who is my refuge.
No evil shall be allowed to befall you. For he will command his angels concerning you.
To guard you in all your ways.
On their hands they will bear you up,
lest you strike your foot against a stone.
You will tread on the lion and the adder,
the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot.
Glory be to the Father, and to the
Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now,
when he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble.
I will rescue him and honor him.
With long life, I will satisfy you
and show him my salvation.
Let us pray. O Lord God, you led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that following our Savior we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Lent comes from Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For judgment follows one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought forth justification. If because of one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. This is the word of the Lord. O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus,
the founder and perfecter of our faith,
who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame,
and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Lord. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sits on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, in the union of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
The children may come forward for the children's choir.
Thank you.
continue with the hymn of the day.
Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There are two things that we ought to learn from the temptation of our Lord this morning. The first is that the temptation of Christ is a significant part of our atonement, which Paul speaks about at the end of our epistle text. He says, "For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous." This aspect of the temptation is made even clearer by its place within Jesus' ministry, because it follows immediately after Jesus' baptism by John. If you can remember all the way back to the beginning of the Epiphany season and the baptism of Jesus, we saw how he entered into the water to take the place of sinners, to designate himself as the substitute to fulfill for us all righteousness. Likewise, if you think back to the Old Covenant, you can remember the scapegoat, which on the Day of Atonement had the sins of the people placed upon it by the priest, and then was sent out into the wilderness with all the sins of the people upon it. And so it is that Jesus is baptized. He is designated as the scapegoat. And then he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. This is part of his active righteousness by which he fulfills all righteousness for us. He does this, goes out into the wilderness, is separated from the people, faces off, and is tempted by the devil. He does this all in our place, and he does it for us. He faced Satan and defeated him for us. He has done what we failed to do, and according to God's glorious and gracious plan of salvation, it counts for us. That's the first thing that we want to learn this morning. Jesus does this in our place for the sake of atoning for our sins. The second, we want to see that the Bible, the inscripturated Word of God, is the sword of the Spirit by which the devil is vanquished. Jesus wields it again and again against the foe, and through it staves off every attack and every assault of the devil. And so what we should learn from this is to follow our Lord's example and wield the Word of God against the devil when he lies, tempts, breathes threats and murder against us. Even as the Word drives him away from us, it dispels the darkness and instructs us in what is true and what is real. Through it, God gives us endurance in the battle and encouragement that we might have the sure hope to overcome our primordial foe. This duality can be seen in the first of Jesus' three temptations. The first temptation reenacts the temptation of Adam in the garden, but with a crucial difference. Where Adam failed, Jesus succeeds. Satan attempts to use food as a cause of our Lord to doubt his heavenly Father's goodness. Jesus rebukes him with a passage from Deuteronomy. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God." The heart of the temptation was the same. Do you trust the Father? It is a test of faith. But in many ways, Christ's temptation was far more severe than Adam's. First, because Adam sinned in his abundance, even while being full on every good gift that God had given, where Christ is hungry, having fasted for 40 days. But even more so, this temptation was not about something that was forbidden to eat, but to act according to his own interests and right, and in so doing, to doubt his Father. The bread was not forbidden for Christ, but Jesus had a right to the bread. Adam had received everything as a good gift from God, but he was denied, he was forbidden this one thing. Christ has everything in the world because it belongs to him by right. And so the question is, why should he lack? That's what the devil is trying to tempt him with. He provides daily food all over the world for mostly ungrateful people. He has the power to provide bread for himself, and there is also a historic precedent. Jesus is the fulfillment of Israel, whom he himself fed miraculous bread to in the wilderness wanderings in their 40 years. But Jesus will not seize equality with the Father, which is his by nature, but he denies himself in order to suffer as all men suffer and worse. He trusts that his Father loves him, for the Father has declared at his baptism, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And he will not doubt his Father's word. The Father, by the Spirit, had anointed him in the Jordan and then sent him into the wilderness. He is the scapegoat. He undoes the primitive sin of Adam and Israel's failure in their wilderness wanderings. He reverses the course of Israel, suffering the punishment of their sins. Thus, he doesn't go through the Jordan into the promised land, as Israel did, but even as he came down from heaven, he goes through the Jordan, out of the promised land, and into the wilderness. He is expelled with the whole weight of the world's sins upon his shoulders, and he is handed over to Satan. He has been there for 40 days without food. The Father has supported him, keeping him alive, but not without hunger or pain. And so now Satan says, "Enough is enough! Why should you suffer for such an unworthy people? You've done enough. Take up your power and reign." The devil is a fool. This sort of thing is effective on sinful men. For we are always seeking our own rights and our own privileges, and we feel every deprivation and slight deeply. Just think how often we take a comment from our neighbor or even their simple forgetfulness as a personal insult. But our Lord does not look to bread for sustenance, but to do the will of his Father. He cannot entertain the idea, even for a second, that his Father is not good. He has true faith. He knows his Father loves him. He knows his Father will keep his word, no matter what Christ endures, even when he is on the cross, forsaken by God in our place. He will remain loyal and true to his Father. He will not doubt him or fail him. He expects the resurrection and the vindication. He never considers the blasphemous thought that the Father might not be good. He does more than simply resist the temptation. He also rebukes the devil. In perfect faith, Christ responds, saying, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" He wields the sword of the Spirit and the written word of God. He could have spoken God's word himself. He is the one who says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, and you have heard it said, thus, but I say to you this," and the like. He is the word of God, and his word is the word of life and the life of the world. But he is waiting on his Father. He does not consider his equality with the Father cause to seize authority or power. He awaits, he endures, and he believes. So he can be our faithful high priest as a man, again, our substitute. For a time, he denied himself his divine rights and attributes, including here the authority to speak God's word. He relies instead on the written word, as we do, in our stead. He battles the devil not with supernatural strength and divine power, but as a mere mortal, with fewer resources than we have. He knows that he will not be spared his Father's wrath, yet he loves his Father with perfect love, and he loves his word. The word clearly reveals that bread has never kept man alive. All men live by the word of God and the will of God, whether they know it or not. Jesus knows this because the Bible says so. He beats back the devil and wins the victory for us as our husband and our protector, doing for us what Adam failed to do by simply using the word spoken by God. Rather than doubt God's word, he doubles down on it. He will stick to God's word no matter what. He does this three times. The devil is sent away. And note here how freely our Savior endures this temptation and suffering for us. For when he commands, "Be gone, Satan," the devil must immediately beat his hasty retreat. After the devil leaves, the angels come to minister to him, comforting him, almost certainly feeding him. Thus strengthened, he is ready to go to Jerusalem. There, on the night in which he is betrayed, he leaves his last testament to his church: "Eat this body hidden in bread and live." We fell by means of eating. Thus he gives us an antidote to the forbidden fruit. He gives us food that forgives sin and strengthens faith. Bread doesn't keep men alive. But the Holy Communion is not just bread alone. It is the risen body of Christ which was lifted up from the earth. It is the holy medicine, the staff of life, a holy communion with God. The life it gives isn't just life either. It is eternal life, a life that undoes the power of death and brings men into the divine presence to behold the beauty of the Lord in his temple forever. It is where the holy angels minister to us. To summarize again, we see the temptation of Christ is a significant part of the atonement. He did it for us and in our place. So we also see that the Bible is the sword of the Spirit. It is wielded against the devil. Through it, God gives us endurance in battle and encouragement that we might hope in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may rise for the offertory.
the whole church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, in the midst of this life, we are beset by many temptations. Fix our eyes on our Lord Jesus, who bore temptation for us and resisted to the point of death, and bring us through the evils of this fallen world to dwell with you forever. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but desire that they turn from evil and live. Give pastors courage to warn of sin and death. Give all Christians strength to defend that message. Turn sinners to life by the proclamation of Christ, who delivers from all unrighteousness. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, preserve all catechumens and their teachers, all children and their parents, and every Christian home from the assaults of the evil one. As your Son overcame Satan in the desert by the word of God, so also give us the victory through Christ and his word. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, you have established earthly authorities to punish evil and praise those who do good. Grant our rulers humble hearts to resist the allure of power and to worship you alone. Grant also faithful service for those who are in our armed forces, such as Sean. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, though we deserve nothing of your kindness, you have shown yourself to be the strength of the weak, the healer of the sick, and the hope of those who mourn. Hear us on behalf of those who are troubled in mind or body, the dying and those who grieve, especially Pauline, Kelly, Jack, Josh, Shane, Jason, Angie, Jordan, and Aubrey. Sustain them through their afflictions and pain. Heal them according to your gracious will, and deliver them at the last to everlasting life in Christ our Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, though you give us stewardship of your good creation, we love the gifts more than the giver. Save us from trusting in our possessions more than in your Son. Teach us to use what you have provided to help those in need and to relieve the poor, the unemployed, and the oppressed. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have given us a refuge from the world in the body of Christ. Protect us from all evils of body and soul, that we would find rest in this life and eternal rest in your heavenly embrace. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Good morning and blessed first Sunday in Lent. For anyone who is picking up some Lenten disciplines, I pray that your fast goes well and it is edifying. If not, that is okay. An update on Jared and Brenna's baby, who we prayed for today, baby Jack. He will be having a surgery on February 26th, so keep him in your prayers as the doctors are endued with skill and wisdom as they go about their task. The LWML continues its pop tab collection, so keep bringing those in. The registration is open for the Ohio Convention for the LWML. It will close in May, so if you are a lady and interested in going to that, they always come back with lots of good stories and about stuff they learned and how fun it was, so consider signing up for that. The sign-up sheets are available for the Lenten midweek services in the back, so if you're able to bring some cookies or something like that, please sign up. And remember that we have the Lenten midweek services starting this week. 7:30, please be here. We'll be meditating on the Lord's Prayer through the course of Lent as we make our way towards Easter. And I believe that is it. Any announcements that I have forgotten? Depart in peace.